Is there a God in heaven? How do we know that God actually does exist? Well, there are many different ways to prove, to know that God exists. One of them is the Bible itself. Not only does the Bible tell us that God exists, the Bible itself is proof that God exists. Because the Bible is such a book that men could not have written it. No man and no group of men could have produced the Bible. The Bible had to have come from God Almighty. It has qualities. It has characteristics, like prophecy and other properties, that could not have been produced by mere men. It had to come from God. But even outside of the Bible, friends, nature itself is proof that God exists. The Bible oftentimes talks about this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So when you look into nature, that nature came from somewhere. That nature had a creator. All the design that we see in the world shows that there is an ultimate designer behind this creation. And so when we look into our world, and we look at the things that men make, whether we're looking at a car, a computer, whether we're looking at a jet, or whether we're looking at a pair of shoes or a watch, we realize that some man made those things, or that some men produced those things. Men designed these designs. And so when we look into the world of nature, we see things that are far more complex, that show far more design than the world of man, which he has created. So if we understand that when we see a watch, that there was a designer behind that watch, a maker behind that watch, we shouldn't have any trouble seeing that when we look at a hummingbird, or when we just look at our hand in front of us, that those things had to have a maker, that there is a designer, a creator behind those things. And that's just being honest, and that's just following what Paul tells us in the writings that we're looking at today in Romans chapter 1. Now, in the last lesson, we looked at Romans chapter 1, and in verses 18 through 20, Paul tells us that God's existence is displayed in nature itself. And in Romans 1, verse 20, he said, "For the invisible things of him," that is, the invisible things of God, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen." They're clearly seen by anybody that is honest. They are understood, he said, by the things that are made. And so whatever you see in the world around you and the world within you, these things have been made by God. They couldn't have been made by man. They didn't come from nowhere or from nothing. They had to have a designer. And that designer is God. That creator is God Almighty. This is simple. And yet you have some of the most brilliant people in the world, as far as earthly standards are concerned, who try to deny this. Well, the Bible has certain words to say about these people in the verses that we're going to read today. But Paul says that God's eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen in nature. You see, the invisible things that he's talking about in Romans 1, verse 20, are his eternal power and his Godhead. They're invisible to the physical eye, but you can clearly see them with a mind when you look honestly at nature. He says the result of this great display, this marvelous display of God's glory and power in the creation, is so that they are without excuse. The "they" here that he's talking about in Romans chapter 1 specifically refers to the ungodly men of his time, and even more specifically, to the ungodly Gentiles in that age. Because these Gentiles had departed from the knowledge of God Almighty. Somebody says, "Well, but they didn't have the Old Testament scriptures like the Jews did, so how could they know?" Well, Paul answers back and he says, because they had nature, because they had the creation. There was still no excuse for them to do what they did. Oh, they didn't have the precise and the specific knowledge that the Jews did about the Sabbath and many other things, but they weren't under that law. They were accountable to God, however, for their moral actions and for the basics that he goes over in Romans chapter 1. He says they are without excuse. They're without excuse for denying God in the first place, and they're without excuse for the sins that they had committed. So let's begin today in Romans 1, verse 21, where Paul explains why these people are without excuse. He says, because that when they knew God, you see, these people in their heart knew that God existed. There are times today when you have people who try to act like they don't believe in God. They try to talk like they don't know whether or not God exists. But actually, they're just putting on a front. They're actually just pretending. They're not being honest with you. Because really, in their heart, they know it. But they're trying to justify the way that they're living. You see, as long as a man acknowledges that God is, then in his heart, at least, he knows that he is accountable to God. So if he wants to live a sinful lifestyle, what is the first thing that he has to do? He has to deny God. He has to change the very idea or concept of God in his heart. Because as long as the concept, as long as the thought of God remains in a man's heart, it's going to be very difficult for him to sin. So sinful man has to get rid of the idea of God. This is why people are trying to get rid of the idea of God in our society. Because they know that the idea, the thought, the fact of God holds them accountable and condemns their sins. And in so doing, they have to turn away even from the creation itself. Paul, in this passage, in Romans 1, shows us, he teaches us, that the creation itself, nature around us, displays the power and the glory and the being of God. So nature itself condemns man's sinfulness. Even if a man turns away from the Bible, even if a man refuses to go to church and hear a sermon, man himself is condemned every day by nature around him. He cannot escape that. And so in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about people who tried to escape it. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now, he's talking here about these people's departure from the knowledge of God. They knew God, but why is it that they didn't live like they knew God? Well, in the first place, they refused to glorify God. They refused to acknowledge God. They didn't want to think about God because it was too uncomfortable for them given the way that they were living. Neither were they thankful. Now, friends, if we think that ingratitude is just a harmless, innocent fault in a person's character, we are mistaken. Because the Bible says that one of the first things, one of the first sins that these people committed before they plunged into idolatry and everything else, is that they failed to acknowledge God and they failed to be thankful. So when people stop thanking God, when they stop appreciating the fact that God gives them life and every breath of air, every bite of food, every stitch of clothes on their back, when they fail to acknowledge that, and when they cease to be thankful for those simple things of life, they're headed in a direction that even they themselves don't realize. The Bible says that they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here's what happens to a man when he leaves the obvious knowledge of God that is shown in nature. He becomes empty in his imaginations. Now, the imaginations here mean the thoughts or the reasonings of that individual. They become empty. They become void. They become foolish. And the Bible says that their foolish heart was darkened. Now, he's not simply saying here that their intellect was darkened. He's talking about their conscience and their emotions and their moral being was darkened. This is what happened to these people. Now, at the same time, what you find in verse 22 is exactly what you see today. These people who have left God and have become perverted and twisted in their morals and in their mind try to give the impression that they're very wise. They claim to be the most educated. Is it not ironic, folks, that when a man leaves God, he turns away from the source of true knowledge that he claims to be even more knowledgeable? that he claims to have attained a higher level of intellect. And the Bible says that that man is a fool. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what is it that Psalm 14, verse 1 said thousands of years ago? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, beginning in verse 23, we find just how bad their lives became. Because in verse 23, 24, and 25, the Bible says that these people who claimed to be so wise, that did not any longer want the idea of God in their lives and in their hearts, turned to idolatry. So they wanted something more sophisticated, and they turned to silly, foolish idols. Can you think of anything more ridiculous than that? And yet this is what happens to man when he turns away from God. When a man turns away from the knowledge of God, there is no telling what he will do. And what we're finding here, beginning in verse 26 and 27, is that man's morals become corrupted. When a man's concept of God changes, his morals change. When a man lowers his thoughts about God, his life, his morals, are automatically lowered. Because in verse 26 and 27, the Bible says these people turned to homosexuality. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The Bible tells us here that homosexuality is against nature. It is against the Bible, it is against nature, it is against the will of God, period. And the Bible tells us in this section that nature itself teaches this. So regardless of what a man has been taught, regardless of how someone has been reared, regardless of the home that they came up in, the kind of education that they received, regardless of the books that they have read, regardless of how little they know about the Bible, they should know that homosexuality is a sin before God, because nature itself declares that. Now that's the teaching of Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27. So a person doesn't have to be a brilliant and highly educated individual to know the truth on this issue. It is clear, and it is clear from nature itself. And the bottom line reason that people turn to these sins, that they shut their eyes even to nature itself as nature cries out to them, is found in verse 28. Listen very carefully to Romans 1, verse 28. Why is it that people get themselves into the sinful condition that they do? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want God in their knowledge. They don't want God in their hearts. They do not want God in their minds. They do not want anybody mentioning the name of God, and especially mentioning the name of God in great reverence and in great respect, because the very thought of Almighty God causes them to feel extremely guilty for their sins, and it should. Because the God that made nature, the God that inspired the Bible, is the very God that you and I will answer to someday, and so will every person on the face of the earth. And a man may be able in this lifetime to, at least to some extent, get God out of his mind, because as this passage says, he does not like to retain God in his knowledge. But at the judgment, he will not be able to avoid the awesome thought of God. And in hell, man will not be able to get around the fact that he is there because he has transgressed the will of Almighty God. Romans chapter 1 is a passage that needs to be thought about, it needs to be taught, and it needs to be preached much more in our day and age. There is a God in heaven, and nature itself declares that. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.